Self-righteousness. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. We suggest that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit may be the sin of self-righteousness, as it keeps us from recognizing our need for a Savior. It causes us to view the conviction of the Holy Spirit rather as a temptation from Satan, and it makes us stumbling blocks that keep others from coming to Him. There's been much speculation over what the unpardonable sin or the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit might be. The Bible does not give us an explicit identification of this, but here we will suggest a possible candidate, the sin of self-righteousness. Jesus' strongest denunciations were directed to those who were self-righteous rather than those who were self-acknowledged sinners. Recall the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18:9-14. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Notice this parable is told to, quote, those who are confident of their own righteousness, unquote. The Pharisee here thanks God that he is not like other people. The tax collector, by contrast, cries out to God for mercy. It is the tax collector whom Jesus pronounces justified, declared righteous before God. Then we have Jesus' condemnation of the scribes and Pharisees reported in Matthew 23 with parallels shorter in Mark 14 and Luke 20. I will not read all that rather long, but here Jesus says of the scribes and Pharisees that they don't practice what they preach, verses 3 and 4. That they lay guilt trips on others, verse 4. That they do good works for show, verses 5 through 7. That they keep people away from God, verse 13. That they devour widows' houses, verse 14 in some texts, and in Mark and Luke, parallels in any case. That they evangelize for hell, verse 15. He goes on to say that they reason perversely, 16 through 22. That they major on the minors, verses 23 and 24. That they emphasize externals, verses 25 through 28. That they honor dead saints, who would have condemned them, verses 29 through 33, that they mistreat saints of their own times, verses 34, that they will be condemned for all these things, verses 35 and 36. Self-righteousness, then, keeps those who practice it from entering God's kingdom, because they can't admit their own sin and their need of a Savior. Self-righteousness may be very evangelistic, but the converts are headed for hell, too. Self-righteousness keeps others from even coming to God because they identify self-righteousness with godliness, with religion, and they don't want any part of it. See Paul's remarks in Romans 2, verses 17 through 24 regarding Jewish self-righteousness. Romans 2, 17. Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you lie on the law and brag about your relationship to God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because you have the law, in the law, the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Now, self-righteousness is by no means confined to ancient times or to non-Christian religions. We need to recognize self-righteousness. We may detect it in ourselves and in others by these items given in Luke 18, Matthew 23, and Romans 2. Trusting in ourselves and viewing others with contempt in the Luke passage, that's verse 9, and the Romans passage, verses 17 through 19. Teaching as a substitute for doing, verse 3 in the Matthew passage, 19 through 23 in the Romans passage. Laying guilt trips on others, verse 4 in the Matthew passage. Seeking approval of others, 5 through 7 in the Matthew passage. Emphasizing externals and outward reform instead of inward change, verses 5 through 7 in the Matthew passage, and 25 and 28 also in that passage. Misusing funds raised by the great sacrifice of others, verse 14 in Matthew. Evangelizing for reputation, or scalp hunting, verse 15 in Matthew. Majoring on the minors, verses 16 through 24 in Matthew. Honoring past heroes, verses 29 through 33 in Matthew. Mistreating current heroes, verses 34 and 35 in Matthew. Leading people to blaspheme the truth because they confuse your position with God's position, Romans, verses 23 and 24. What can we conclude in all of this? To the extent we are self-righteous, we certainly blaspheme the Holy Spirit, for we deny that we need Him. We view His convicting activity as Satan's temptations. We bring slander from unbelievers upon the name and cause of Christ. Let's examine our own hearts to see if any of this is springing up there. Let us pray that God may rescue us from self-righteousness. May God help us to be filled with His Spirit and inwardly empowered to live lives that truly honor Him. May we live as God instructed us through Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's the end of our short talk. May this be the end of self-righteousness in our lives.